In John chapter 10, I want to read a large portion of this, and then I'll share with you this morning. And all these, I tell you, I told Regina, boy, that was great preaching. Y'all sure needed some good preaching. And LaVon and Chris and Tim, while I was gone, but every bit of the preaching was real good. John chapter 10, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door in through the sheepfold, but climbeth up some of the way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Now he's going to make it even plainer. He's talking about himself. Notice what it says in verse 7. Then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. That's all the devil's got for you. For those of you who don't know Christ, all this world has to offer, all the devil has to offer is he steals and kills and destroys. But listen to what Jesus said. While I was out there, let me just interject this here. I spent a good while on Saturday night in the truck stop talking to a young man who had some Native American blood in him. He was not full Native American, but he said he was a pagan. And I said, wow, that's interesting. What is a pagan? I wanted to know. I know everybody's got something to say to you so you won't witness to them. But we said, and I got him out of at the end of the service, I took him off in the side room to talk to him. But he said, I'm a pagan. He said, I worship some way with like the Native Americans do. I believe God's everywhere, he said. I believe he's in the trees and in the rivers and the wind and in animals and everything. Everything's God. I don't believe there's one particular thing or one particular thing. But he said, I do believe in reincarnation. Therefore, I couldn't be a Christian. I couldn't be a Christian. And I said, what is that, reincarnation? And he said, well, if you live good enough and when you die, you come back and you're like brand new again and you'll be be better than you were. If you're bad, when you die, you come back. You might come back as a dog or a cat or a rat or a snake or whatever, depending on what you were, you know. If you were bad, if you were really bad, you'd be one of the lower creatures, maybe an ant or a flea. If you're, better, but you're still bad, you might come back as a cow. And but I listened to him and I said, in other words, you're looking forward to kind of like being renewed or becoming a brand new creature and coming back better. He said, yeah. I said, well, that's wonderful. I said, because you can already have that and you don't even have to die. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. I shared the gospel with him. He didn't get saved. His name is Jesse. I wish you'd pray for him. But now look at this verse again. He said, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I've come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. That's what you get when you get Jesus. You get life and you get it more abundantly. I'm the good shepherd, and the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling and not a shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf cometh and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he's an hireling and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring. And they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth the Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. this commandment have I received of my Father. Our emphasis this month is on the idea of harvest. You remember the parable I read to you a couple of weeks ago when we were talking about reaching out? He said the master prepared this great feast, and he sent his servants out, and he said, bid them that are invited, call, go ask them to come, invite them to come. And so that's what we were doing when we were knocking on doors. 824 doors you knocked on and gave out flyers and leaflets and bags and in personal invitation, invited people to the house of God. And then he goes on further than that, but he says this, now bring them into the house. And so not only invite them, not only contact them like we've been doing in the month of August, but now we bring them. A lot of times I've challenged you, and when I go and preach revivals, I say, folk, I want you to invite 100 people to revival this week, but try to bring one. You just think about it. If everybody in here next Sunday would bring one guest, and we have Folk of Vision with us, and April's cousin and his wife are here this morning, but we have visitors I've met back here in the back. But if we could just bring one person, invite one person, boy, this auditorium would be overflowing this morning. If everybody here brought one, all the kids brought a friend, all the teenagers, all the young adults, all the seniors, if we bring one person, bring. With that emphasis, I want to look at verse number 16. Other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring. And they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Will you bow with me for prayer? Father, I want to thank you for the blessed privilege of being in the house of God this morning. Thank you for the wonderful singing, for the sweet spirit. Lord, for the good fellowship we had as we just walked around and met one another, and as we greeted one another, handshaking a while ago. Thank you, Lord, for the great singing of the choir and the congregation and Miss Pansy playing this morning, Brother LaVon leading the singing, Danny leading the choir. We do ask your blessing on Brother Brad. God, help him to be 100% well. We pray, God, that you bless others. Thank you for Jane being here today. We pray, God, your blessing on her and others in the building. We pray for Brother Terry Thompson this morning. And God, I pray that you'd bless him. And Lord, that you'd heal the infection in his arm. And I pray now, God, that you'd have your way in this service. Lord, please don't let any man or woman, boy or girl, in the sound of my voice leave here lost. I pray, our Father, that they shall with Lord, on the anointing of fullness of the Holy Ghost of God, hear clearly the gospel. And I pray, God, that it'll find lodging in their heart. And Father, I pray that you'd save. I pray God's people be encouraged to be busy about the Master's business of trying to reach sheep, call them, bid them, invite them, and bring them. And God will thank you. Lord, I bow before you and confess there's no good thing in me. And God, I pray that you'd purge my mind and heart now. God, you've called me to preach. I pray, God, that now you'd speak through me, fill me with the Holy Ghost, and speak, and I'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Just quickly this morning in this passage of Scripture, if you mark your Bible, will you underline three words for me in verse 16? I must bring. I share with you this morning about five or six things about that as God spoke to my heart about it. Number one, in that little phrase, I must bring, I see the shepherd's compulsion. He has this compulsion about him that he must bring. This is something that was in the heart of the Lord Jesus Christ when he was formed in Mary's womb and God fashioned a body for him and he came into this world. He said, I did not come into the world to minister, but to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give my life a ransom. He said, I've come to seek and to save that which was lost. He said, for this reason came I into the world, that I might give my life as a sacrifice. There was a compulsion about him. There was something in him, that compulsion. I must bring them. It's kind of like people who have some responsibility and they say, I must do this. I must go here. I must take care of this. There was a compulsion in him. There was something in him that just was divine. It was something in him, a heart. And you see it, you feel it as he ministered to people, as he cared, as he picks up those little children and said, suffer the little children to come unto me, for such is the kingdom of heaven. You see it when he touches those who have blind eyes and lame limbs. You see it when he called Lazarus out of the tomb. You see that compulsion in him to reach out and touch and minister to those who had there was a drive in him. There was a compulsion in him to do that. My dear friend, if the Holy Ghost of God lives inside of you, every man, every woman ought to have inside of them that compulsion. We don't always do it, and we often convicted of the Holy Spirit of God, but there must be that compulsion inside of you. I remember Brother Tim was talking, as he shared the other week, prior in that passage of Scripture, the statement's made, he said, I must needs go through Samaria. That wasn't just a geological or geographical demand, that it was the way you go. There was something, there was a compulsion in him. There was something drawing him there. There was something pushing him there. It was God's divine appointment for he who was God himself. But he knew there was somebody there who had a need. He knew there was somebody there that he needed to minister to would change her life forever and forever. There was a compulsion in him. What is it that keeps us going? What is it that keeps us trying to reach people for Christ? There is a divine compulsion. The heart of God inside of every believer, I see the divine compulsion of the Savior here. I must, he said, I must bring them. There was a compulsion. But then I also see this. I see the shepherd's capability. I must bring. I can knock on doors. You can knock on door. We can pass out tracts. Everybody can pass out tracts. We can do email, Facebook. But when it's all said and done, he's the only one who can bring them. He's the only one who can save them. He said, I must save them. That is the shepherd's capability. I can do it. Is there anybody here that could save a soul? No, but he can. Is there anybody here who can change a life? No, but he can. I must do it. You see, joining a church doesn't do you any good. Being baptized doesn't do you any good, but he has to do something for you. He has to change you. He has to make you a brand new creature in Christ Jesus. And here is his divine capability. He's able to save, the Bible said, unto the uttermost. He and he alone can save. He said, he that cometh to me, I'll in no wise cast out. Notice what he said in this passage of Scripture. Look at verse number seven. He said, and he said, then said Jesus again, verily I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. Look at verse 9. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. I see his divine capability. I see his ability to save. Now, who can he save? Who is it that he can save? He can save anybody. He can save to the uttermost. All that call upon him. All that come to him. And that's where it's at. You say, Brother Billy, you don't know what I've done. You know how wicked I am. I don't, but he does. And on the cross, he bore all of your sins in his own body on the tree. And he's able to save to the uttermost all that call upon him. His capability, he can save and change anybody if you'll come to him. I must do it. I'm sure glad that I'm not the one who saves. I'm glad that I don't have to depend on any pope or bishop or anybody else. He alone can save. He alone is capable of saving. I must do this. I want to help. I want to be a part. But he said, I must save. I must bring. He said, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. He's the only way to heaven. There's none other name under heaven given among men whereby you must be saved. It's the name of Jesus. He said, I am the singular door into heaven. His capability. He can save to the uttermost all that call upon him. His divine compulsion. I must do this. It's his heart, not willing that any should perish. He wept over the city of Jerusalem. That divine compulsion, but that divine capability, he's able to save to the uttermost. But notice, if you will, not only that, but notice the shepherd's commitment. Notice the shepherd's commitment. Look at verse number 11. I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. How is it that he's able? What a commitment he made. He said, I've come to give my life a ransom. Scarcely for a righteous man would one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. What a commitment. He wants them saved. He wants you saved. He wants you to have all your sins forgiven. He wants you to live in heaven forever and ever. Notice his commitment. He laid down his life. Notice what he says as he shares this with us. Notice, if you will, please, in verse number 17, therefore doth the Father love me because I lay down my life that I may take it again. No man taketh from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. He laid down his life. He gave his life that you might be saved. You say, Brother Billy, you think he'd save me? Why, sure. You think if he'd die for you, he wouldn't save you? You think if he ever lives to make intercession for us, you don't think he'd save you? He'll save you. You don't have to do anything other than turn to him. He has that divine compulsion I must bring. He has that divine ability. I alone can save. I must save. But this divine commitment I must bring. And the only way he could take us to heaven is for him to lay his life down, for him to die so we could go to heaven. Now you say, Brother Billy, why did he do that? Well, I want you to look in verse 12. But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf cometh and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he's an hireling and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep and am known of mine. The hireling, in contrast, doesn't care for the sheep. And Jesus said, I do care. I know, my dear friend, the shepherd's compassion. Why is it that he wants you to be saved? Why is it that he suffered and bled and died for you? Because he loves you. He loved you with an everlasting love. He cares for you. He cares about you. And he said one place, I've shared this with you many times, it's a marvel to me, where he said, Father, thou hast loved them as thou hast loved me. And then later I found this verse. He said, I have loved them as thou hast loved me. In other words, not only does the Father love us like he loves his own son, but Jesus Christ loves us like the Father loves us. Jesus loves you so much he died for you, his compassion. He came and suffered and bled and died that you might have life. He showed that love on Calvary. And you know, what was it that causes that great compulsion in him, that drive in him? Is it so he could say, look at all of these I have, look at all these I've saved? His motivation was love. And there was nothing about us that would merit that love. It was only his love. He set his love on us, as it says in the Bible. The Apostle Paul testified of his own life. He said, the love of Christ constraineth me. He said, it's the love of Christ that causes me to keep going. It's the love of Christ that keeps me preaching. It is Christ's love in me, shed abroad by the Holy Spirit of God. It is that compassion of Christ that cares. The shepherd cares for the sheep. That's the difference between, even in pastors. A real pastor cares for the sheep, loves them, cares for them. And not a hireling, but he really cares. Money's not the issue. It's a matter of care. Jesus doesn't love you for what he gets out of you. He just loves you. He has such great compassion. The shepherd's compulsion, I must do this. The shepherd's capability, I must do this. I'm the only one who can. The shepherd's commitment, he said, I give my life. I must bring and I must die in order to bring them. And then the shepherd's compassion, I must bring them because I care for them, not willing that any should perish. Lastly, this morning, I want you to look, if you will, please, at this verse I just previously read to you as our text verse, verse 16. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold. Right there, you should have said amen. You missed a chance right there. He's talking to Jewish disciples and to Jewish people. He said, I want y'all to know one thing. Y'all not the only ones that I'm dying for. I'm not just dying for the nation of Israel. I'm dying for the whole world. We're part of that. We are the others. We are part of the other crowd. Thank God. We're part of, that's how we got in the other part. He came to give his life a ransom. And he said, this is not all there is. There are others. There are others. So many others that I've got compassion on. So many others that I'm dying for. But now notice it said this. He said this, other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring. They shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Now, when it's all said and done, we have not replaced the nation of Israel. The nation of Israel is still there. The nation of Israel is still the apple of his eye. In this time frame, what we call a dispensation, the age of grace, Jews and Gentile, there's only one way to be saved. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God and salvation to the Jew first and also to the Greek. But he said, right now, when they trust the Lord Jesus Christ, there's one fold and one shepherd. Now, I want you to notice the last point this morning, the shepherd's confidence. Notice what he said in verse 16, and other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. They shall. Thank God. Did you hear his voice? Raise your hand. And if you've ever heard his voice, when he's called you by his grace, when he called you by name and said, Billy, I love you and I died for you. Will you trust me? Will you accept me? Thank God for that call. Thank God when he spoke to your heart. Thank God when the Holy Ghost of God came, not just a preacher. You might have heard somebody say the words 1,000 times, but on that occasion, the God of heaven, the shepherd called and you heard his voice. He spoke to you through the message. He spoke to you through the radio broadcast, the TV. He spoke to you and God's Holy Spirit spoke to you and you knew that you need to be saved and you were saved. Thank God I heard the voice. I heard the voice. I preach a message on He Still Speaks. First time I ever preached it. I remember LaVon like it was yesterday. The quartet was, we were at Kenny Dishman's church. I'd been downstairs praying. I'd been there preaching for a day or two. And I knew they were going to come and sing. And God gave me a message on He Still Speaks. And boy, they sang it that night. And it was like electricity all over the building and in me too. He Still Speaks. I love that song. When they, He Still Speaks. And He does. Not one person's ever got saved. That the God of heaven didn't personally speak to them in the person of the Holy Spirit of God. Boy, that ought to just bless you to death. He came to us. His confidence. He knew you by name. He knew where you were. And He spoke to you. He may have spoken through a preacher. May have spoken through something else. But it was Him who spoke to you. And He said this, they will hear my voice, and there'll be one fold and one shepherd. I'm glad I got in. I'm glad it wasn't up to me. I'm glad it's Him that called me and added me to the body of Christ. Glad it was Him that spoke to me and convicted me of my sin and gave me everlasting. Same way for you if you're saved this morning. His confidence, they shall hear my voice. Thank God. Do you hear Him this morning? Today, if you hear His voice, harden not your heart as in the day of provocation. If you hear Him in the radio audience, in the media audience, in the building this morning, if He speaks to you, He wants to save you. Will you receive Him? Will you turn from your sin and receive the Savior? He said, I'm able to save. He that cometh to me, I'll in no wise cast out. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Does He speak to you? Is He speaking to you right now? Will you bow your heads for prayer with every head bowed, every eye closed? He said, them also I must bring. I must bring them. Well, I'm glad my salvation is not tied to my ability. My salvation is not tied to anybody or anything, any creed or any rules or regulations. I'm glad I heard His voice. He said, they shall hear my voice. Have you heard His voice? Did He save you? Well, if you're like me this morning, your heart's a-bubbling. You're rejoicing. thanking Him for what He did for you. Oh, listen, will you let God use you? Terry and Perry yesterday, God used them. They testified to you. They didn't save that man at the nursing home. The Lord did. God spoke to him. God spoke through them to him. Same way with Levon. A few weeks ago, he was preaching up in Garner, Raleigh, and a lady got saved. It was God spoke to her. I mean, what a blessed privilege for you to know that the God of heaven spoke to you. When you got saved, it wasn't your grandma, it wasn't your granddaddy. They were good people, maybe loved you, prayed for you, talked to you about Jesus. It wasn't your mama or your daddy. They shared Christ with you. It wasn't your Sunday school teacher, it wasn't your wanted worker, it wasn't your pastor. It was God Himself who spoke to your heart. Boy, listen, you think about that. You're special. You're special. He said, they shall hear my voice. Thank God, he that hears my voice, and he said, and they will follow me. The only reason I'm here this morning is because I heard His voice, and I'm a following Him. You can be saved this morning. If God spoke to your heart, you know you need something you don't have. If you need to be saved, if you need to have a brand new start. He said, I've come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. You can have abundant life. Thank God for His blessings on me. Oh, yeah. I spoke to Randy this morning, and he said something about that God better than I deserve. Me too. Great. God's been good to us. God's been good to us. More than we deserve. Don't deserve nothing but hell, but He gave us heaven. And beyond that, He gave us life more abundant. I want to ask you a question in here this morning. Have you ever heard that voice when He spoke to you? Holy Ghost of God convicted you of your sin. You knew you were lost. You knew you needed to be saved. And when He drew you and spoke to you, you responded in faith and received the Lord Jesus Christ. If that's never happened to you, if you've never heard His voice, I'm not talking about being able to distinguish it and say that. I'm talking about it's in your heart. You know it's Him. You know it's Him. No, it's not the preacher. You know it's God. Can't describe it, how it sounds or anything like that. Nobody in here could, really. But you know it was God. And He's speaking to you now. If you're here this morning, you said, Brother Billy, if I died right now, I don't know I'd go to heaven. But I want to be saved. I want you to pray for me. I'll tell you right now, that shepherd can save you this morning. He's capable. He's able. I am the door, He said. If any man come in by me, he shall enter in and be saved. If you come by the door. You say, preacher, if I died right now, I don't know for sure I'd go to heaven, but would you please pray for me? Nobody's looking but me and the Lord. Will you raise your hand right here in the auditorium this morning and say, preacher, pray for me. If I died now, I don't know I'd go to heaven. Anybody like that in the building this morning? Across this building? Anybody? For our friends in the media audience, He loved you. And right where you are, you don't have to be in this church house. Right where you are, you may be in your automobile, you may be in your home, maybe in a public place somewhere, but you're listening or watching. I want you to know He loved you. Let me ask all our friends here in the auditorium to stand. Brother LaVon, will you sing a verse? Brother LaVon's going to sing a verse of invitation for us. We keep our heads bowed. I want to pray. We'll not keep you long this morning, but I want to pray. And if you're not saved this morning, I want to invite you to come. And I'm going to tell you, November's Thanksgiving, but we ought not to wait to Thanksgiving to thank the Lord for saving us. I'm glad I heard His voice. Glad He spoke to me. Maybe you want to just get around this altar and thank Him. Get around this altar and pray. We're going to have a closing prayer in a moment. We're going to pray especially for Houston, for Texas, and all those folk across that way. But right now, there are good, godly people here who will pray with you around this altar if you have a need or burden. If God speaks to you, let me invite you to come right now. Heavenly Father, in the strong name of Jesus, who is Lord, God, thank You for speaking through the music of the choir, the congregation, and Brother LaVon this morning. Thank You, Lord, for speaking to us through Your word. And God, I pray now that, God, that You'd save. Lord, I didn't see a hand, but You saw their hearts. I pray, God, they'd come right now. Obey Christ in Jesus' name. We continue in an attitude of prayer. You come this morning. Several are coming right now. You come on right now. Maybe saved. Maybe just need to come pray for folk. need to come and pray around this altar? God help us. God help us. Be obedient to you. Lord Jesus, meet every need. If you're not saved this morning, he loved you and he died for you. Trust him right now, will you? Oh, yeah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Just a moment, Brother Levon's going to sing one more verse for us. I'm rejoicing this morning in the fact I'm saved now. And God forgave my sin. This song was being sung tonight. I surrendered to preach the gospel. I was in the choir, believe it or not. I knew God had been dealing with me. And it's a song about salvation. I didn't get saved that night. I felt like I did all over again. But that night I laid my life down and said, God, I know you called me to preach. I surrender to preach. Maybe that's you this morning. God's been dealing with you about doing something, obeying him, and the invitation not just for salvation, but to come, lay down your life. Listen to the song. Maybe God spoke to you. You come. Give your life to him. You'll never regret it if you'll sell out to him. Whatever he wants you to do, here I am, Lord. Oh, bless you, Jesus. Miss Pansy's just going to play for a moment and while folk are praying around the altar. I wonder this morning, God spoke to my heart. You have a need. You have a burden. You have a care. He said this. He said, I give my life for the sheep. He said, the hireling fleeth because he doesn't care. But I know one thing. I can testify that Jesus cares. Cast all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. But I'm glad we can bear one another's burdens. You're here, you have a burden, physical, financial, family, just something in your heart. And you say, Pastor, would you pray with me? And I will right now. Will you raise your hand about that special need in your heart and life? Thank you so much, friends. God bless you. I got my hand up. Will y'all pray for me and Regina too? Thank you. Amen. Now, while we're praying, Miss Pansy, if you will, just keep playing. I'm thankful for the grace of God. God's been good to all of us. And he's still a God of grace in Houston and Texas and all across that way. I don't have any explanation for things happen like they do or why they happen like they do. I can't explain when sudden death comes and tragedy comes. All I can do is this. I can say God is a great God. God's faithful. He's faithful. And he said, he's made a promise to meet our need. I want us to pray right now for Houston. Pray that their hearts, the hearts that need to, would turn to the Lord. For those who are Christians, that God would encourage them and strengthen them. Sometimes it's hard to see God in the storm. But there'll be testimonies coming out of that that we may or we may not hear, particularly in the national media, about what God did in lives because of this storm. But let's pray that God will get glory, that God will comfort those who've had loss, that God will help them as they rebuild and protect them. and bless those who are volunteering to keep them safe, who are traveling from hundreds of miles away, and that they'll be able to get their homes back together and get their possessions back together. Let's not forget them. Pray for them. Heavenly Father, this morning, first of all, I want to thank you again for the great shepherd who gives his life for the sheep. And then, Father, I pray that, God, you'd bless those folk there in the area where the storm came, in Houston and other areas through there, Lord, Beaumont, and all across the south there, even inland, Lord. And God, you're a God of grace and mercy. You're able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we're able to ask or think. God, you're giving people a chance to demonstrate your love. We pray for Franklin Graham and Samaritan's Purse, for all those volunteers of the Red Cross and all those who, military personnel, emergency preparedness, and Lord, for all those who volunteers coming in from all over everywhere. God, keep them safe. Bless our Father. We pray, God, that, Lord, that in this, that God, that there may be some who'd come to know Christ, some whose faith would be strengthened, and God, because of the compassion and love demonstrated by God's people, some maybe who've been out of fellowship with you, get right with you and get back in church and love you and serve you. God, be with those whose loved ones have died. You are the God of all comfort. You're able to do that that no man could do. You can mend the broken heart. And I pray, God, that you just give special peace and grace to them. Bless all those, our Father, all across there who've been involved in this storm. And God, I pray, God, that, Lord, that you'd very soon get everything to where they'd have their family back together and they'd have a home. Thank you, Lord, for the compassion of God's people and other volunteers and others who've helped. God, we commit them to you and your love and your care. We pray, God, for your friend and our friends here in the church. So many raise their hand now. They have a special need and special care. And God, I'm glad that you can care for us and you care for folk in Houston and around the world. And God, you know, and you know every need, you hear every prayer. And I pray you lift every burden, every care. Save now, Lord, that soul that's nearest hell. Please don't let any lost person leave here and have a bit of peace at all until they find peace in the Lord Jesus Christ. And God, we'll thank you and praise you and give you glory in Jesus' name.